Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. The man of Eden has appeared. Who could fail to recognize him? His purity is obvious. He is fragrant of the morning of the earth. He takes no wine or strong drink. He eats only manna, honey cakes called akris, morphing into onkris or locusts as the early gospels were transmitted orally. He rejects the man-made soft clothes processed in the cities. He maintains a wholesome distance from the urban centers of Cain. He is ensconced in the pristine wilderness, and his cry is that we return to this wilderness, which is Eden. Metanoite, turn back. You are heirs to the kingdom of God, but you are headed off to demon life. Be cleansed, be purified, be transformed. Metanoite. With this cry, a great boundary is drawn across the Levant. St. Peter likened it to a second Noah's flood. For on one side lay a mind that is never free of filth. Quote, the thoughts of man's heart was only on evil continually, saith the Lord, Genesis 6:5. On the other side of this great divide, a new creation, cleansed with many waters. Enter these waters, the Baptist cried. There God does battle with the powers of chaos, and in these waters you will be made new. From the creation of the world, when the Spirit, quote, hovered over the void and darkness and was, quote, on the face of the deep, unquote, Genesis 1:2, to the parting of the Red Seas, to the mastery of the winds and waters evinced by God's Son, and then on through Isaiah and the Psalms, which attest Yahweh's victory over the sea monster, the signature divine act is to wrest order out of chaos. And the great image of chaos in the ancient Hebrew imagination was the all-powerful and restless sea. Go back over the centuries and meditate on icons of the Theophany. Look down into these dark waters, and there you will find the sea monster, Leviathan. In the icon posted with this reflection, the sea monster bears upon its back the old man of our fallen nature, for age manifests the claims of death. On the other sea monster, we find a fallen angel, a demon. These are the waters into which God descends, doing battle with the forces of darkness. Quote, then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. The Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18:15-19. In Proto-Isaiah, we find this. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Isaiah 27:1. The locus classicus of chaos is pandemonium. All demons, which is hell. There Leviathan runs rampant as a fresco, also posted with this reflection, as a fresco from Gelati Monastery in the Republic of Georgia vividly depicts. The icon is named Hell Mouth, represented as Leviathan with a gaping mouth stretched open and where lesser reptiles carry on the work of chaos. Here is the anti-Eden, where reptilian figures dismember and consume the damned, completing the disintegration that had begun with chaotic life, disease, and death. This is the true scale and scope of God with us, where one person of the Holy Trinity is present, the fullness of the Holy Trinity is also present, which is revealed on this day of the Lord's baptism. It was anticipated in the Psalms, quote, "He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he flew upon a cherub. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters." Psalm 18, 9 through 11. And to these dark waters, the Holy Trinity drew near at the scene of Jesus' baptism. In this, we unlock a great mystery. If Jesus is without sin, John the Forerunner asks, then why must he be baptized? But this question envisions a figure shivering in his human nakedness beside Jordan's stream. This question goes to the narrow view of our impoverished human senses. By contrast, the Feast of the Theophany, co-equal with Pascha in its ancient pedigree and cosmic significance, rises to highest heaven. Here the fullness of the Holy Trinity is manifest to mankind. This is not merely the baptism of the man Jesus, but rather an epic battle and the turning point of human history. For the superabundance of the Holy Trinity is present to the human life world, going down into dark waters, reenacting the first creation, taking reptilian chaos into its hands, and manifesting victory over death, even to the foundations of the world. We speculate that St. Athanasius would have seen this cosmic drama as surfacing something that was already true. For at the incarnation, the fact of the Creator touching the creation with his divine presence produced a shock so profound that it flipped the telos of the human life world from death to life. Still, the material world continues to exert its ancient power. We must receive God's gift of New Eden. We must embrace it. As Athanasius says, by remaining completely focused on the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our exemplar, our God, we retain goodly and godly order. You see, we follow his example. We follow his life. In this, we participate in the divine act. Yet should we stray from unity with God's will, we shall experience renewed stirrings of chaos. Even Sir Isaac Newton encoded this in his Physics. Chaos is irretrievably the way of the world and the constant devolution of our material universe. You see, our universe is constantly unraveling. Many centuries previous, St. Paul had taught us that the way of the world is demonic. When we were children, we were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were in bondage to beings that by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, and one of the phases of baptism is being named, how can you now turn back to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? Galatians 4. St. Paul repeats this theme in his letter to the church at Ephesus. You were dead through the trespasses of sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Ephesians 2. The unredeemed material creation tends always back towards chaos, carrying us along on its powerful and putrid tide, if we will let it. For apart from the life of prayer lies only madness. Still, we seek angel life. The kingdom of God is not of this world. And today we celebrate the almighty power of our God, who has condescended to be among us in this world, yet instructing us to be like him, not of this world. He is the invincible bulwark, protecting us from the menacing elemental spirits of wrath. He imparts his saving powers into the waters of our baptism. Our elder brother, the Son of God, shows us the way into these waters, infused with the everlasting power of divine life. We also descend. We have been stripped of the clothing of the old man. We descend Eden-like, with every thread of our former lives carried off to be burned. The life of wrath perishes in these waters, and we die to our former selves. The claims of chaotic hell are loosed from us and washed away. A white garment awaits, imparting the purity of heaven as we emerge from these waters. We are anointed as befits our royal birthright. A candle betokening the light of the world is ours to be set on a lampstand, for we no longer relish hiding in the darkness. And we hear the words Jesus used to announce the new age of angel life. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, from our lesson this morning. Yes, God has done all things for those with eyes to see and ears to hear. He has unhinged the iron doors of hell. He has shattered the ancient power of demons. He has relumed the gentle fire of Eden. And he has opened the gates of heaven. The creation unto the foundations of the world has been redeemed. But it remains for us to enter the waters of life. Should we stumble later, he has given us confession of sin that we might be restored to divine purity through the second baptism of absolution. Let the waters of this first baptism wash over the whole world. Let a tsunami, another Noah's flood, purify every mind and heart. And may each life born into the world gladly strip themselves of every former vestige. Let us burn down our former lives with joy, and let us be drowned in the waters of divine baptism and absolution. For a white robe, a candle, precious unguents, and the kingdom of heaven await. And in this rarefied atmosphere, we remember the words Jesus announced when he called his disciples. Truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You see, angel life is ours for the having. A greater and purer world awaits. To those whose eyes are fixed upon the material world, it is invisible, even foolish. But for those who love God, it shimmers before us in a breathtaking beauty. And it surrounds us in its life-giving power, now and unto the ages of ages. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.